Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
Senator Rand Paul talks about the spending monstrosity. Congressman Jim Jordan joins us talking about Tony Bobulinski. We have a couple FBI whistleblowers. We are jam-packed tonight on I'm Right. $1.2 trillion. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the spending package because the great Senator Rand Paul is going to join us here in just a minute, and he's going to discuss it in a lot more detail and how egregious it is. It's just, it's one of these things that I continue. You've heard me struggle with this before. I have a hard time just wrapping my mind around the idea that the fiscal collapse of the United States of America is coming. Everyone knows it's coming. Everyone in Congress does, I should clarify. Every Republican, every Democrat, everyone knows it's coming. It's math. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. It's math. It's coming. We can't do this. And nobody is even slowing down on the spending. Forget about slashing. Right now, as we speak, the House and Senate should be meeting to slash and burn this budget to the ground. What can we afford to keep? That should be the conversation they have. No one's discussing cutting a nickel. It's just, what do you even do with that? In fact, the president of the United States of America, he's still so brazen, he's getting up there telling people how much he cut the deficit.
We reduced the federal deficit by $160 billion. Hear me? $160 billion, you know?
And we've cut deficit by the time it's out, over $2 trillion. We've cut the deficit.
And while I'm paying for it, we're also reducing the federal debt at the same time. You know, the Republicans talk about, you know, big tax and Democrats. Give me a break. Come on. I've already cut the federal deficit by $1 trillion since I took office.
My Republican friends tell me we're spending a lot of money. It's saving billions of dollars. Saving billions of dollars. We're actually cutting the deficit, too.
With Maggie and your delegation's help, I've already cut the federal deficit by $1 trillion.
It's wild how comfortable these people are lying. It's crazy. It's like that something goes wrong with your soul when you're there. Republicans do this too. They're all over the news today too, telling you how great this whole thing is. Joining me now, great senator from the state of Kentucky, Senator Rand Paul, one of the few people actually trying to stop all this craziness, as he often does. Also, you should go buy that book he wrote, Deception. That's pretty apropos for where we are. Senator, do these people genuinely not understand the fiscal collapse that's coming? It's coming. Everyone knows it. It's math. Do they not know?
You know, I think math is not the strong suit of our president. He has a little bit of trouble with the English language, but definitely trouble with math. He seems to interchange deficit and debt a lot. And so at one point in that clip you showed, he says he's reducing the debt, which is an absolute falsehood. The debt is growing exponentially. We're up to over $34 trillion in debt, and it's climbing every day. Yeah, in the next year, the spending proposals that the Democrats are going to vote for, and probably 10 or 15 Republicans will join them to pass, as well as the majority in the House have voted for this now, will add to the debt $1.5 trillion. Now, the little trickery that's being performed here is, and sleight of hand is, that the debt did get enormously bad. The worst records were under COVID when they shut the entire economy down, the lockdowns that I opposed, they passed out checks to everyone. The deficit in 1 year actually exceeded $3 trillion. So the record was set during the COVID lockdowns. Oh. But it's disingenuous to say, oh, they're not quite as bad as they were under the worst deficits ever, to mean that there's not any deficits. The deficits over $1 trillion a year is alarming. The Federal Reserve Chairman warned about this. Jamie Dimon from J.P. Morgan Chase warned about this. There are many authors warning that the debt is unsustainable, and that's why I'm fighting against these bills, loaded with earmarks, loaded with waste, and really loaded with deficit spending.
How gross is this bill, Senator? I know, of course, they dropped it in the dead of night, as they always do. And it, look, it's $1.2 trillion. That number alone is disgusting. But what all is in this disaster?
Well, we haven't yet categorized it all yet. We have the one from last week that we passed on. We now know what was in what we passed last week. Had 6,000 earmarks and $12 billion worth of earmarks. I don't yet have a total on this week's earmarks or things, but we're going through it page by page. We'll be lucky if we get a first read through before the final vote on this. The final vote will probably happen tomorrow. And people have to realize Republicans have absolutely abdicated the power of the purse. We have a majority in the House, and we have a filibuster-proof minority in the Senate. What does that mean? It takes 60 votes to pass this spending bill. If all Republicans held together, it wouldn't pass, and we would have the leverage to actually reduce spending. Instead, we have collaborators, fellow travelers, who will work with the Democrats, and they will pass this bloated spending bill. But unfortunately, Speaker Johnson has gone along with them in the House. So really, the power of the purse has been abdicated. When I go home, people are like, we elected you Republicans. We elected Republicans as a majority in the House, and you're not using your power. They're absolutely right. Republicans in the House who voted for the spending bill and the Republicans in the Senate who vote with the Democrats for this bill have abdicated the power of the purse, and they're not doing what they were elected to do. And I hope people at home will be very unhappy with them and maybe bring some of them back into the private sector and send up replacements.
Yeah, I think you're right, Senator. I'll be honest with you. And I've had him on the show before. His voting record actually isn't all that bad. I'm so incredibly disappointed in Speaker Johnson. It's not that I expected him to move mountains with a tiny majority, but what have we accomplished at all? Anything?
Well, here's what should have happened or what could happen. He can't win everything. I acknowledge that. But he has the majority in the House. And then he also has, we have a filibuster-proof minority in the Senate. If the Senate leadership and Mike Johnson got together and went to Schumer and said, well, you're wanting to spend $6 trillion and we want to spend $5 trillion, so why don't we split the difference and spend $5.5 trillion? That's not happening. What happens is all of the spending is on autopilot. The entitlement spending is going up 5 to 6%. They're all afraid to look at entitlements. Then the military is going up 3%. They're not willing to look at that. So really, they're only looking at 16% of the budget. The non-military discretionary, and they're just whittling tiny little bits away from that. But they've made the mistake, and many people in Washington make this mistake, is when you take entitlements off the table, that's two-thirds of the spending. So two-thirds of government's on autopilot. It just goes on and on and on, and nobody's doing anything about two-thirds of the spending. So if you ignore two-thirds of the spending, the deficit can never be addressed. The budget that we vote for is military and non-military discretionary. That's about $1.5 trillion. That's equal to the deficit. The entire budget I vote on is being borrowed.
Okay, so how do we address these entitlements? I know it's the political third rail. I know the second you bring up the word Social Security, you might as well start packing up your office because you're getting ready to get kicked out of office. I understand all that. At the same time, it is going to collapse the country. So do we just wait until that? Do we wait 5 years until it's out and then we deal with it?
I think being honest on entitlements isn't the third rail of politics. I ran in 2009 for the first time, and I told people that the age of Social Security must be raised. I've told people that we probably are going to have higher deductibles for Medicare. I've told people that all of these things are going bankrupt, and it's not that I want to have reforms. It's that if we don't have the reforms, there will be no Social Security for the next generation, and there will be no Medicare. And it's going to happen pretty quickly. Within the next couple of years, the people who live on the basic smallest amount of Social Security, which I believe is around $700 a month, those people will get a 20% cut in their Social Security unless we reform it. So you have to reform it. In fact, I think the people that are disingenuous on this are the AARP, who sends out letters saying, tell Rand Paul to get his hands off my Social Security. Well, you know, if we do nothing to Social Security like AARP wants, it will fail. And it will utterly fail the poorest among us and hurt them the worst. So, you know, I think the entitlements are not a third rail. Honest with people. People are willing to be honest. If you tell them the age has to go up because we're living longer, they haven't voted me out because I've said that. I've introduced bills that would actually raise the age of Social Security gradually, a couple of months a year. And what happens is it's not as noticeable to people. Like right now, the people going retiring would have to wait 3 months. And next year, the people retiring would have to wait 4 months. And next year, they'd have to wait 5 months. And over about a 20-year period, you raise the age to probably about 70. We already did this once. In 1983, we raised the age from 65 to 67 for Social Security. We need to do it again for Social Security, very gradually raise it to 70, or actually attach it to longevity. And so I've sort of jokingly said, if you live to be 120, you'll get your Social Security at 115. But it's the only way it pays for itself in order to stay afloat. Most European countries do this. You know, Bernie Sanders says he loves the socialism of Sweden. Sweden's age is 70 and going up based on their longevity. Sweden takes their entitlements and actually only allots as much as they're going to spend that year, and then they readdress their entitlements the next year. They actually look at entitlement spending every year as part of their budgetary process. That's what we need to do. Sweden balances their annual budget. Bernie thinks they're a socialist nation, but they actually balance their budget. Now, they do it differently than I would do it. They do it with very high taxes. What I would do it is with lowered spending. I would do it with a smaller government, because then the engine of capitalism roars. When you lower the spending and have less taxation, you have an enormous economy. And we've got some of that from the tax cut of 2017, but we get even more if we would actually restrain spending.
Senator, real quick, just to wrap things up here, this TikTok bill, look, I'm just not trustful. I don't like TikTok. I don't have TikTok. My kids don't have TikToks. I just don't understand why this Congress could pass a good bill. I don't think this Congress is capable of passing anything good and decent. But you're in the Senate. I'm not. What say you?
You know, I don't really like Facebook either. I don't use YouTube. And the reason I don't use YouTube is because they censor me. I don't agree with their politics, so I use Rumble. And so when you don't like something, you don't use it. If you don't think your kids should be on it, don't use it. But here's the interesting thing. They've written a bill that gives the president the authority to shut down anybody they think has foreign influence or foreign influence is controlling their company. Well, right now, as we sit, Apple has a lot of business in China. Everybody that has an Apple phone in China, the data, because the Chinese government demands it, has to be on Chinese servers that are owned by the government within the country of China. So does that mean Apple is under the control of a foreign country, a foreign adversary like China? And I'm not advocating this, but I'm worried that the bill would actually allow the government to force the sale of Apple as well. They're also telling Apple that they can't put this on the App Store, which I think is going to be a First Amendment problem, because the App Store now is full of things where you express yourself. And if the government says that you can't have an app on your phone that allows you to put your dance videos up, is that a First Amendment violation, not only of the people putting up dance videos, 170 million Americans, but it also may be a First Amendment abridgment to the App Store of Apple, forbidding them from having different speech applications on in their App Store. We know that this has been tried three times so far, and the federal courts have looked at bans of TikTok three times, and they've been found unconstitutional on First Amendment rights. But the other thing that's important to know is people aren't being honest about this. On Fox News, they're saying, oh, it's owned by the communist government. Well, that's provably false. TikTok is owned by 60% international investors, 20% the two Chinese guys that are software engineers that created the app, and 20% by their employees, which are 7,000 of those employees are Americans. We also know they hold their data on the Oracle Cloud, and they've agreed to have Oracle review any kind of data problems or accusations. The TikTok board is 3 out of 5 Americans. So there's a Fifth Amendment problem here. If I wanted to come and take your broadcasting, or whoever broadcasts your signal, or how you get your word out, if I wanted to take that from you, I can't take that. I can accuse you of being a communist spy, but I can't take it unless I go to court and prove that you are. That's what the Fifth Amendment is about. It's about due process. The government can't take your property. So TikTok is property, and some of that property is owned by Americans. So all these people making accusations, you know, they just have to prove that in court if you want to take someone's property away from them. You have to put them in jail, and you have to prove it in court. If you don't do that, and you let the government make these decisions, my goodness, you think they're going to let you or I speak if the government gets a choice to shut us down? Yeah. Already we have YouTube shutting me down, and so it's like, I don't know. I worry about having the government more ability to censor speech.
Yeah, they already call us Russians all the time. Senator, as always, I appreciate you very much, sir. All right, we still have so much to get to. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Look, we just talked about the spending and the debt. You were, not me, not just me, Senator Rand Paul. They're not going to cut anything. They're increasing. And did you hear when he said the problems were going to come? Did he say sometime this century? Maybe 50 years. A couple years. Crisis is here. Call Oxford Gold Group and make preparations. 833-995-GOLD. They will send gold to your front door or silver. I don't care what color it is. Get some precious metals because they can't wreck that. Get it in your retirement as a portion of your retirement, your 401k, your IRA. Oxford does all this for you. You don't have to worry about doing any of this. Call them. They'll walk you through everything. They'll handle it all for you. But they can't do it unless you call them. Call and make preparations. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question. No. RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category.
I'm sorry. That's an idiot. Joining me now, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, the big cheese in that whole hearing yesterday, Congressman from the great state of Ohio, Congressman Jim Jordan. Congressman,
yeah.
Be honest, is it hard to keep a straight face when you see someone making an absolute ASS of themselves out there? Is it hard to keep it? Do you even bother trying to keep a straight face?
Think about this is what Fannie Willis is the whole point of that. Those charges against President Trump and I think 18 other people, which is ridiculous, but that's the basis. So it's obviously a crime. I think it's being falsely used down there in Georgia, but when she said it wasn't. But this has been a week of strange things, by the way, Jesse, because I went to the arguments, a different issue, but I went to the arguments at Supreme Court on Monday, and we had a Supreme Court justice actually say to the Solicitor General from Louisiana, your position, counselor, has the First Amendment hamstringing the government. And I'm sitting there. This is one of those moments where you almost forget you're in a place where you got to keep proper decorum, where you almost want to just stand up and say, that's the point. I mean, I turn to my colleague beside me. I'm like, that's the whole point of the First Amendment. So this has been a week for some strange things said by people on the left. But that one was big.
Definitely has.
Yeah, it was.
And it was obviously a rough day for Democrats. Tony Bobulinski very clearly has an axe to grind with these people, and he's a wealth of information because he worked with these people. The Bidens looked really bad yesterday, didn't they?
I think so. And I think there's an obstruction concern potentially here because all the changing stories we got from the Biden White House, I was never had anything to say or do with anything relative to my son's business in China. Well, then that all moved to my father was not financially involved with the business. Sure looks like he was based on some of the evidence we have, but that changed. And then, of course, the Justice Department story changed multiple times after the whistleblowers came forward and told us how ridiculous this investigation was being done. And that was sort of all confirmed when they took the sweetheart deal to the court, and the court basically laughed at it and said, what are you bringing here? We can't accept this. And then they named the very guy who took the sweetheart deal to the court that got laughed out of court. That's the guy they make special counsel. I mean, so I think there's all kinds of potential bad behavior here that Mr. Bobulinski highlighted so much of yesterday.
There was, and a lot of this obviously lands at Joe Biden's feet. Everyone knows this is Joe Biden's business. It's not Hunter Biden's business. That idiot wasn't running anything. It was Joe Biden running things. So if the president was running, I don't even know if I should call it criminal enterprise. It's certainly seen that way. If the president's been running a criminal enterprise for about the last 30 years, are there charges brought? Where do we go from here? It looks really bad.
Yeah, we continue our work. As I said yesterday, there's no time limit in the Constitution on doing our duty to have oversight of the executive branch. So we're going to do that. There's still other witnesses we would like to talk to, particularly two lawyers in the Justice Department that the Justice Department is telling us no right now. We may have to actually go to court on this. But we want to talk to these two lawyers because they're the ones who sort of came in and changed where that investigation into Hunter Biden was going to go. There's people we need to talk to. And at some point, we'll have to decide as a conference, is should we do articles? Are there the votes for those articles? But what I said yesterday is we don't do snap impeachments like the Democrats do. We actually go for the facts and dig in into the facts and the truth. And that's what we're trying to present to the American people. And then we'll decide if we have articles and if we actually go to a vote.
Do you believe the votes are even potentially there? And look, I'll be honest with you, I'm not very hopeful. I look at all these garbage that's barely passing, GOP defections all over the place. It's hard to imagine, especially with Santos gone, with Kevin McCarthy resigning. It's hard to imagine we have enough people to actually impeach. But do you believe that's possible?
Well, again, I don't know. You're right. The majority is so tight. It's tough to pass just about anything. So I'm not pretending that we're going to have the votes one way or the other. All I'm saying is I think it's incumbent upon us to get the facts. We're going to do that. I anticipate we will do some kind of report, whether we go to articles of impeachment or not. I believe we'll have a report that lays this all out in a straightforward way. I mean, I think way I try to say it is the money, the business, the brand, and how that was all put together. I think people got a good feel for that from yesterday's hearing. Millions of dollars coming from foreign entities through 20 different companies. For what? What were they providing? And I think the answer we got was from Hunter Biden's business partner, Devin Archer, last summer when he told us in his deposition under oath it was access to the brand, and the brand was Joe Biden. Mr. Galanis talked about the Biden lift, which was another way they described the brand. They talked about this idea that, you know, say it, forget it, write it, regret it. This motto, this slogan, this mantra they live by, the rule they live by is you keep all that quiet, but sometimes it even got written down in the form of like the big guy. So I do think there's a lot there, but we'll have to see if there are ever the votes to actually bring articles forward.
All right, let's talk about the IRS. You opened up an investigation into the IRS today, something about AI spying on us. What's this all about?
Think about what they can do if they can take it to scale and use artificial intelligence. We already have reports where people have said, oh yeah, we can do this. We can see everything companies are doing, individuals are doing. Someone on the inside, you know, this was Mr. O'Keefe was able to get some of this audio of this guy saying this. So that is scary when you think about in the broad context, a Justice Department that said, you know, we're going to investigate parents at school board meetings. An FBI would said, if you're pro-life Catholic, you're extremist. A government that pressured big tech to censor American speech. A government that asked big banks, hey, give us the transaction data of your customers, debit card, credit card purchases. Are they shopping at you know, Bass Pro Shop, or are they buying religious texts? How dare someone get a Bible and go buy a gun at Dick's Sporting Goods? So that's the kind of scary context and framework we have. And then we find out, oh, the IRS is thinking about announced how thrilled they were to be able to use AI to deal with people who may not be paying their taxes. We're afraid of it from the other side where they're coming after you, particularly in light of things like Ketanji Brown Jackson said at the Supreme Court where, oh, we're nervous about the First Amendment hamstringing the government, which is exactly what the First Amendment's supposed to do. That's the context. And then we see this statement that this guy made sort of bragging about AI and what that would allow the IRS to do. And as I've said before, I think that's an old Newt Gingrich line. You know, you think about the IRS. I mean, the IRS knocks on your door. Your first response isn't, oh, joy, one of my public servants is here to help me today. I mean, this is the IRS, for goodness sake. So if they got this kind of power where they can do it at scale in that kind of time frame, man, that's frightening stuff.
That is. All right, one last thing. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson went on TV, I think this was last week, and he was talking about some cuts, and I was thrilled with the headline. Anyway, here he was, cuts to DOJ. Here he was.
We have advanced, and we also advanced, as you've seen the summary, cuts to some of the agencies that we believe are really overreaching and have been turned in some ways against the American people. We're going to cut 3% from DOJ, 7% from the ATF, 6% from the FBI, and 10% from the EPA. And that's just a start.
Well, that's a great start, but we have this spending package going through $1.2 trillion. People can't figure out how many bills there are. Are there six? Are there two? Is it one? Either way, are we getting cuts? What's happening with all this?
We're getting some reductions, but remember, there were huge increases under the Democrats, so the reduction is not, frankly, where it needs to be. But, you know, look, in divided government, I appreciate the reductions there. I think there was a better strategy if we could have corralled the votes, which, again, is tough when you only got a one vote, majority. I think there was a better way we could have done this. But, we appreciate some of the cuts we've got in this legislation. I'm not going to support it. I thought there was much better ways we could have done this strategically and everything else. And by the way, we haven't stopped what's already been appropriated for the FBI headquarters. We just said we didn't just get no new money for that, but it's already in there. So, like, I mean, the very FBI that says pro-life Catholics are extremists, who helped the DOJ, who told big tech, oh, be ready. We think there might be in October of 2020, there might be a Russian information operation involving Hunter Biden and a laptop, even though they had the laptop and knew it was real. Do they really need a new headquarters? I don't think so. So I think there's some of those concerns that many of us still have and will not support the bill on the floor tomorrow.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you're not supporting it. Congressman, thank you as always. I appreciate you, sir.
You bet.
All right. We have a couple FBI whistleblowers, speaking of the FBI. They're going to join us next to talk about some things. Before we talk to them, let's talk about you and owning your own protection. We don't like to think about the dangerous world in which we live. But let me challenge you with something. Your state has a sex offender registry. It does. These dirt balls have to go register. I want you to go look it up. Go look up your area code. Now go get yourself a Byrna pistol launcher. Byrna pistol launcher. Non-lethal, so even if you're not a gun person, look, I am a gun person, I carry concealed and I carry Byrna, but even if you're not a gun person, it's non-lethal. Shoots pepper balls, tear gas balls, these hard plastic kinetic rounds, whatever you want. Easy to use, point, squeeze, legal in all 50 states. No background check, they mail it to your front door. This will stop a bad man from hurting you, or your daughter, or your mom, or your dad. Byrna.com/Jesse saves you a pile of money too, 10% off. BYRNA.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
I read a book once, highly recommend this book, actually, about the Soviet Union and KGB and its infiltration of the West. And the book is called Sword and Shield. Highly, highly recommend it. It's a lot, I'll be honest with you. It might be one of those ones you have to pick up and put down from time to time. It's not a riveting read, but man, it is informative. And that concept of sword and shield actually fascinates me, because that is truly how the communist sees the national security apparatus of his nation, wherever he is. It's very clear the American communists view the government, FBI, CIA, all of it, as their sword and shield, not the sword and shield of America. That's kind of the idea behind it, the sword and shield that protects them. You see, the deep state's job is to destroy their political enemies. In fact, they're getting more and more brazen about it. Now, New York Times has an article out titled, "It Turns Out the Deep State is Actually Kind of Awesome." Well, why would they say something like that? Because it's currently destroying their political opponents. Again, these are just communists. Joining me now, two brave men, Kyle Serafin, FBI whistleblower, host of the Kyle Serafin Show, and Steve Friend, FBI whistleblower, host of the American Radicals podcast. Kyle, it's really obvious by this point in time, they just love the fact that the FBI is their plaything. They used to hate it. Now that it's destroying their opponents, they love it.
It's really interesting you brought up the sword and shield. I was in the Air Force, and the Airman's Creed actually makes reference to, as an American airman, you are the sword and shield of the American, you know, force and the ability to project power on the evil that's out there in the world. And yeah, you're exactly right. They love the deep state because the deep state is doing their bidding. They are specifically order takers now. Nobody is upholding the oath of office the way that Steve and I looked at it and said, this is important. And this just came up for us. This article is timely from the New York Times because they seem to be an awfully deep state type apparatus. But it's really timely because I had someone report to me from Los Angeles that they had someone come in and put a threat that was just hyperbolic speech that is covered by the First Amendment, that somebody thinks that someone should hang Joe Biden. Very ambiguous. A specific person named Joe Oldman, who has a podcast himself. He's a guy that I interviewed on my podcast. And because of my podcast specifically, the person who just talked to me said, I was now aware of who he was, and I'm able to dismiss that threat. But otherwise, they may have continued it on. It went to an FBI agent who was an order taker, this kind of deep state apparatus, you know, and they turned around and then handed it off to a supervisor who couldn't make any discretionary thing and handed it to a substantive investigative squad because some guy who's in the political space thinks that the president's not upholding his oath. It's absurd. It's like my blood is boiling on this stuff right now. Like I'm seething.
You know, the garbage we are taking in now to our various government agencies is producing more and more garbage out. Obviously, it makes sense. Steve, this is from the FBI's latest jobs post. During Women's History Month, the FBI proudly reaffirms its commitment to the 30 by 30 initiative, which pledges to increase the representation of women in recruiting classes to at least 30% by 2030. Steve, that doesn't sound like the FBI is looking for the best and brightest. It sounds like the FBI just cares if it's a woman.
It does. It doesn't sound like the FBI is actually familiar with the law either, because Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 says that you can't be prejudiced against anyone based on their genitalia in your hiring practice. So it's good to know that for the remainder of the decade, the FBI will be prejudiced against men applying. But it kind of goes with what we've seen from the FBI. They're not dismantling the FBI. They're building one. They're building one of people that are happy to just follow orders or just gleeful about doing the things that Kyle talked about, investigating someone for First Amendment protected speech. And obviously our elected officials in Washington, D.C., there's not enough eye of newt or reindeer antler extract that's going to raise their T levels enough to defund this out of control woke and weaponized agency. It's going to fall to local law enforcement, constitutional sheriffs, and ultimately state representatives to pass laws so they can stand in the bulwark against an out of control FBI and DOJ.
Kyle, why haven't there been more of guys like you and Steve and Garrett? Obviously, you guys know I love Garrett, but I'm thrilled. I just can't tell you how much I respect the fact you guys gave up your career for this. But why are there three of you? And I realize there have probably been a couple others, but there aren't that many. FBI is pretty big. Where's everyone else?
They're addicted to comfort, like a lot of Americans are. They like getting that paycheck. They've said as much. We've got a private chat where we have eyes on to about 1% of the entirety of the FBI, which is actually a lot of people, a couple hundred people. And one of them just said, you know, I'm disgusted with this agency. Some of the public figures are as well. But I can't give up my paycheck. And so even when they know, I mean, I have people that tell me the work I do is decent. I've had guys that have been in for 15 years and they say, I do decent work every single day and our agency is utterly irredeemable. How are politicians not following through with this kind of stuff? That is a damning indictment. That is a terminal and fatal flaw to have in a law enforcement agency that's just doing intelligence work. And we know they're doing intelligence work, that's the bulk of what they're doing. And they're not doing it intelligently either. You know, they're spying on Americans. They're using national security tools. They're hiding behind these parallel investigations. And they're not doing the things that most Americans think that they would do, like going after bank robbers or fraud or trying to protect our resources. They're not doing that. They're simply engaging in partisan politics, and they're terrified of losing that paycheck. They're terrified of losing the status that comes along with it, which is why we get all these retired agents that sit there and they say, well, the FBI is still pretty good. You guys, we just need to clean it up. No, the FBI is not good. Your reputation is tied to the FBI. And so you've got skin in the game here, and you're not a credible source. So many of these people are so weak and cowardly. It makes me want to puke right now.
Steve, we found out the DNI office is urging the intelligence community to avoid problematic phrases like radical Islamists. Problematic. Oh, gosh, we just have a bunch of teenage girls that run the country now. In what ways were you handcuffed? Did you ever feel handcuffed from just tackling an issue because of all this woke filth today?
There was definitely that Damocles sword hanging over your head. It started particularly for me, and I'm sure for Kyle as well, when there was the mandate that we had to get the vaccine for coronavirus, and neither one of us were willing to comply with that. And we have it on good authority that you go up to the Human Resources Division within the FBI, which is arguably the most important component of it because they get to decide training, decide personnel, and personnel is policy. They don't even have an American flag hanging. They have a rainbow flag because this is the U.S. of gay now. I think that, again, we are back to building a compliant workforce that is either going to just put their heads down and be very granular in their responsibilities because the FBI is a pyramid and there's a political capture at the very top. But on the very bottom of the pyramid, the broad base of it, you can be assigned something that's relatively innocuous. And if you're unwilling or willfully ignorant enough to not take a step back and look at the full mosaic and realize that you are part of a broken system, yeah, you might not be dropping the Zyklon B into the chamber, but you're putting them on the cattle car to Auschwitz. Well, just follow orders, and that's what's valued. I went back. I had the misfortune of actually going back and listening to the audio recording I have of my meeting with my senior executives. And they told me that I should set an example for my children and just follow orders. That is the type of person that the FBI is recruiting right now. They're not interested in upstanding people of integrity. The vetting process is to remove those people from consideration.
God help us. Christopher Wray, Kyle, Christopher Wray sat in front of Congress, talked about the border, and I'll be honest with you, this is one of those things that keeps me up at night.
From an FBI perspective, we are seeing a wide array of very dangerous threats that emanate from the border. There is a particular network where some of the overseas facilitators of the smuggling network have ISIS ties. That we're very concerned about, and that we've been spending an enormous amount of effort with our partners investigating. Exactly what that network is up to is something that's, again, the subject of our current investigation.
Kyle, it keeps me up at night knowing that all this, you know, border being open talk, it's talk right now. Don't get me wrong, there have been real casualties, but one day, you, me, Steve, we're going to wake up, we're going to grab our phones, and something horrible is going to have happened in this country. Now, you know it's coming. You know it's coming, don't you?
100%. There's threats that are actually inside the United States. We followed them. I followed them as a surveillance guy. What's amazing is this. You just heard Chris Wray accurately determine that there are threats coming across our southern border. There's an opportunity cost to January 6 prosecutions. So why do we have hundreds of counterterrorism agents assigned to going after J6ers who were involved in nonviolent misdemeanors, people who were journalists that were simply reporting on that day? We're tying up man hours and resources and analysts, and we're tying up prosecutors on that garbage. I've physically been, you know, shoulder to shoulder with people who have sworn allegiance to ISIS, big people, people who are armed in an armed surveillance capacity where we were trying to figure out what sort of threat they represented to the American people. That's a real threat that exists. It's always existed. It's one of the reasons why I signed up for the military. I came in 2009, but a lot of my thoughts were going back to September of 2001. Like many people in this country, I wanted to serve because of that. And now we've got this guy up there who's saying it. And his answer to this credible threat, this danger at the border, is more 702 FISA so they can spy on Americans, not for doing real actions, not doing putting real people on the line to go and find these clowns that have snuck into our country. Why are they not geofencing the entire border?
Kyle, Steve, gentlemen, thank you. You know what's coming, man. You know that that day is coming, and it's going to freaking suck when that day gets here. All right. You know what else sucks? Your annual fees for your timeshare. That's what sucks. Stop paying those. No, I don't want you to start going back on your word or breaking your contract. Don't ruin your credit score. When I say stop paying those, I mean call Lone Star Transfer instead. Just call Lone Star Transfer. You think you're stuck in your timeshare, but you're not. You are one phone call away from being free. Don't you want to be free of that burden? You never even go anymore. And even if you want to go, you can't get in, can you? Ah, sorry, call back next year. Lone Star Transfer, they're successful 99% of the time getting people legally and permanently out of their timeshares. Make a phone call, man. It's a family business. They're wonderful people. 844-310-2646. Or you can go to LoneStarTransfer.com. We'll be back.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
You know what I was thinking about? And we've talked about this before on the show, but you know what I was thinking about today? That a Democrat president gets elected, Joe Biden gets elected, and he opens up the border on purpose, right? So let's just get past that. He opened it up on purpose. He didn't stumble into it. He opened it up on purpose. And now America is being overrun with illegals. Millions and millions and millions of them. It'll be 12 million by the time his first term's up. Pray to God he doesn't get another one. But let's just make it about his first term. Let's pretend like he doesn't get another one. He loses to Trump in November and all's good, right? But he still opened up the border on purpose. And the world, not just Central, South America, Mexico, the world took its dirt balls and dumped them onto America because the world knew right away our borders were open. So the world simply took all of its criminals, its rapists, here, sent them to America. Emptied out its prisons. Venezuela emptied out its prisons onto our streets. Here, go to America. So the world knew because we had a Democrat president who opened the border on purpose, it could take its scummiest citizens and throw them here and they would be welcomed into the country. The world knew that. And at the end, we will have millions and millions and millions of them here in our country, in our culture, doing drugs, raping, murdering, destroying this culture. Okay, so that's 4 years of Joe Biden. Now, let's say he actually loses. Yes, he actually loses, and let's say Trump comes in and we actually do get these mass deportations. That actually won't happen, but let's say we do get mass deportations and people are mailed out. Even if all that happens and all that's good, we still, you and me, we still live in a country where any time a Democrat gets elected president now, they will open up the country and flood the country with the world's scumbags. What does that mean for us? What does that mean about America? Did you know that the Biden administration, this is how committed they are? 200,000 deportation cases are being dismissed now. Like people who would have been deported, they're just dismissing the case, and now they're going to stay here. Why? Well, the Biden administration, of course, quote, failed to file the paperwork. So you and I both know they didn't fail. They intentionally didn't file the paperwork so all those illegals can stay. I want to make sure I stress this again and again and again, no matter how many times I say it. Democrats flood the country with illegals on purpose. This is being done on purpose. It's not that they're horrified or don't know how to fix it or whatever. They want them here. They want murderers and rapists living next to you. They want these things. They're making these things happen. And now it's gotten so bad, these people are going online, these illegals, they're going online and informing other illegals about the various places they can go in this country to abuse the American people. They're telling them about squatters laws in places like New York.
We met Adele Andaloro outside the home her parents left her in Flushing, Queens. She's in the process of selling it.
No, he locked it.
But she's been locked out. She claims squatters moved in on February 6th and refused to leave. In New York, squatters have rights after 30 days.
By the time that someone does their investigation and they do their work and their job, we'll be well over the 30 days and this man will have stolen my home.
Adele and her daughter, with the property deed in hand, went inside.
This is my furniture. These are my curtains.
She didn't just find her belongings inside.
There's a man sleeping right there. Get out of my house.
She found two men.
How long have you lived here?
I moved in about 2 days ago.
They've called the police on me, and I've called the locksmiths. I didn't come in illegally. The door was open. I may end up in handcuffs today if this man shows up here and says that I have illegally evicted him. I said to them, let him take me to court the way I've been told to take him to court. But today, I'm not leaving my house.
The man called the police on her.
So, Adele, you're getting arrested right now?
I'm being arrested.
For what?
For being in my own home.
And where's your lease?
She's fighting the house. It's not her house anymore.
My deed is current and legal.
Arrested for unlawful eviction.
And you know what hits me? I had a Marine buddy of mine text me that story 2 or 3 days ago when that story first came out. He texted me and he said, Jesse, what in the heck did we do anything for this country for? Isn't that heartbreaking? Look, I'll tell you, I don't want to shift gears on you here, but this is the kind of thing. Watching a president open up the border on purpose, watching people be kicked out of their own homes, this is the kind of thing that is eating the patriots of this country up on the inside, especially our most patriotic people, our veterans. It's killing them. They can't take it anymore. Did you see the recent survey? Only 1/3 of military families would recommend service. 1/3. I've never seen that number anywhere below 50, ever. It's now 1/3 of military families are encouraging their children, nieces, nephews, cousins to join. And I want to make sure you understand something. We do this thing on my radio show called Medal of Honor Monday, where we read a Medal of Honor citation. But you read enough of these things and you start to notice patterns over and over and over again. You start to read the backstory on so many of these guys. America's greatest heroes, so many of them, come from military families. You look at this guy who's just a lion on the battlefield, killing as many guys as he can, saving lives, just doing amazing movie things, and you find out, yeah, his dad was in the Army. Yeah, his grandpa served. Yeah, he just felt a duty for his country. Traditional military families are a requirement, and they're done. They're gone. And it's not just that they're done. They're so disenfranchised, they're telling their kids, no. Look, I told my kids, no. Obviously, they can do what they want when they turn 18, but we've talked about it. Look, do you know that we've had more embassies evacuated under Joe Biden than any other president? More embassies evacuated under Joe Biden than any other president. So the American patriot, the American veteran, has to sit back and watch this country be humiliated time and time and time again. And then when it comes time for his children to make a decision, he's out. He doesn't want that for his boys. And then he has to see stuff like this. Afghanistan, I want you to understand something. Whether the veteran was in Afghanistan or not, what happened in Afghanistan for our veterans is something that is tearing them up inside to watch not only all that work, all that effort for 20 years be tossed away like it was nothing, but to watch 13 of our warriors be killed because of the insanity, and then to watch pieces of trash like Mark Milley sit in front of Congress and say things like this.
Number of Americans. This was always an issue. The number of Americans, as General McKenzie said, an F-77 report is supposed to, every ambassador in every country of the world, keeps an F-77 report, and they're supposed to track the Americans, where they're at, the phone numbers, address, et cetera, in the country. That was always a difficult number for us in the Department of Defense to get a hold of, and I think it's true at the tactical level and operational level as well. And I'll be candid. I don't know the exact number of Americans that were left behind because the starting number was never clear.
We just left our own people there. We're leaving them everywhere, leaving them in Haiti, leaving them everywhere. And do I need to remind you, another reason these military families are telling their children no, China is gearing up for an invasion of Taiwan. That is a big boy power invading Taiwan. And the President of the United States of America, he's already signed your son up for war.
But would U.S. forces defend the island?
Yes, if in fact there was an unprecedented attack.
After our interview, a White House official told us U.S. policy has not changed. Officially, the U.S. will not say whether American forces would defend Taiwan. But the commander-in-chief had a view of his own. So unlike Ukraine, to be clear, sir, U.S. forces, U.S. men and women, would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion?
Yes.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
My son isn't dying for Joe Biden. All right, we're moving on. Let's do a light in the mood. Before we do that, speaking of war, let's talk about World War I. You know, we have a special, a World War I special, and you're going to want to watch it. FirstTV.com/history. You're going to want to watch this World War I special. Anyway, light in the mood comes up next. You know what kills me is when these congressmen are nasty to each other. And you know why it kills me? Because I feel like I would probably be nasty to the dirty communist scum when I was there. Eric Swalwell, just think about this for a moment before we get to Light in the Mood, because he's part of Light in the Mood. Eric Swalwell still sits on the House Intelligence Committee. Eric Swalwell had an affair with the Chinese spy, and he still sits on the House Intelligence Committee. And that's bad, but at least his fellow congressmen aren't letting him forget that he's a Chinese asset.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I find it incredibly rich Mr. Swalwell is going to come to this committee and lecture us about how China penetrates our government. I think that's something he may know a thing or two about.
Guys, it's dead. And so I'm here to pronounce the time of death. Five-sixteen.
Say it in Chinese.
Impeachment is dead. 5-16.
Say it in Chinese.
Impeachment is dead.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.